Data Transfer and I'm Audrey, episode 33 of season 2.
I'm Corla. It's episode 33 of season 2.
It is. It is that. It is fully that. I didn't do diddly shit today.
You cleaned your house for like an hour, dog.
Yeah, I did do that. But that feels like diddly shit, right? That feels like you should be doing that all the time anyway.
I understand that might be how you feel about it, but you did actual work and exhausted your body.
Okay.
And now we're doing this. Yeah. This is work. Yeah. You set aside this time to do this work with me.
This is also work. And then after this, we're going to play video games for work.
For work. For a secret mission.
Secret mission in the lands between.
You ever just enjoy a podcast so much that you're like, fuck it, I'll play a huge game again to be on that.
Yeah. To get one character specific quest.
Listen. It's a good quest.
Yeah, I hear it's good. I don't know. Gotta hang out with some real weirdos.
So what's the build you're planning on going for?
I would say quality, because I've always wanted to do a quality build, but they basically did away with those in this particular one.
You gotta
prioritize dex or strength.
You gotta pick strength or dex, and then you gotta pick a secondary set.
And the dumbass thing about it is I've always, like, my very first character in any Souls game was a strength guy, and I liked him. He had the great club, and I learned the tech in Dark Souls 3 where you can smack a R1 immediately. Like, as soon as the club lands from the charge R2, you get to throw an R1. Like, the second it fucking hits the floor, you get to throw another one way faster than it looks like you should be able to. And I would catch motherfuckers out like that in PvP all the time. It was fun. I have found nothing like that in any other Souls game, and so strength does nothing for me.
No, I feel that. Although, in Elden Ring specifically, strength builds are really fucking strong.
That's what I'm
told. Because of the fact that they give the player massive poise-breaking capabilities in this game.
That's important.
You put on one buff, and you get the big finger. Mm-hmm. You charge R2 that shit, you will knock over bosses.
You just go, ha! And then they go, ow.
Yeah, you flick them. You give them the flicky.
Yeah, that sounds great in terms of cruising through the game and making it through in a timely fashion. My deal is I have to like the moveset, and unfortunately for me, I've mostly enjoyed the moveset of the dex weapons.
Oh yeah, I mean, fuck, you can still do a dex arcane build. Just grab one sword for bleed, one sword for frost, and you're good.
Rivers of blood, baby. That's still viable.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Well, that kind of was the one I was leaning towards. But if you don't want to do strength, fuck it. I'll take the fingy.
Go finger.
I'll go fingy. I'll look up how you get cruise through the game with a high strength build at the start until you can get the fingy, and continue looking things up from there, because I'm a little pussy bitch and this game is very difficult.
It's a hard game.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Like, you've seen, I can blast through a Bloodborne boss like nobody's business. But in Elden Ring and Sekiro, I have not hit the second wind. I haven't hit the point where it just fucking clicks, and you are now Neo in the Matrix.
Right. What is your favorite moment from a video game that you have played where you're like, oh, I get it. Like, I get this. And you just, wreck. You just wreck it. Shit.
Oh, fuck. That's a great question. I'm gonna have to cut out a lot of dead time here.
You can think about it while I give you my answer. In about October of 2018, 2019 maybe, I had a terrible manic episode and psychotic break. And the fun thing about having a manic episode when you are good at MOBAs is your brain works faster while you are in it. And I was good at, it was Paragon at the time, was the MOBA that I was playing. And I remember very distinctly, it's Halloween, and I'm having a psychotic episode, and I am ripping through people in Paragon.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just It's just like a million APM. You know what I mean? Like, my, you know, I'm sure my hands are deteriorating actively out from under me. My brain is blistering, but I'm right. just like killing people. Could also have been hallucinating that I was doing well.
Also another possible. It, yeah. it could have been the Family Guy, like, get on weed and go smoke on and go sing on stage bit.
Could be.
I don't know. I'm sorry to reference Family Guy. I know we just lost some listeners. I understand.
Have a nice day. We'll see you. See you in the next one.
I found mine, by the way. I thought of
okay.
it.
Okay.
So yeah. I've talked to you, at least, a lot about my love for angular momentum under your control in a video game.
Right. Yeah.
By which I mean swinging.
Movement tech and swagging.
Movement tech and specifically swinging around shit.
Grappling hook.
This love specifically comes from a little old game called the Attack on Titan Tribute game. And I spent so many more hours than anyone should playing that shit because I found the movement compelling, but found myself like too dumb to actually get much done when I got to play with my friends. And I was committed to getting at least good enough that I wasn't holding everybody back. But in the process of practicing on my own over and over and over again, I eventually hit this point where, like I said, like Neo, you just see it. You see the code.
Yeah.
And you can look at a particular path and go, I need to hook on here, boost around here. As I'm hitting the corner, I need to quickly latch onto this while staying latched on briefly to the other one. And then I can come around this corner without touching a single thing or losing speed. And then I would just do it.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. And I don't think I've ever had that level of catharsis in any other video game where I just,
yeah,
I understand precisely how to move through a space in a system that is so fast and precise that to do so makes you look like fucking God. Yeah.
I wish that you and I could have played Guns the Duel together.
Oh, I don't
know
what that
is. Guns the Duel. Oh my God. I want to say it was early Nexon. And it was an arena shooter. Oh. Third person arena shooter. You pick your guns. You can either do a single handgun or two handguns, a single revolver or two revolvers, a single submachine gun or two submachine guns to start. And obviously the answer is two submachine guns because you have double the damage output. Fuck accuracy. Who cares? Getting the grill mown down.
Pew, right? Pew, 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 pew.
And that's how everybody played.
So
I was like
mid-range, short range is what you're saying it favored.
Quite short.
Okay.
Actually. So people would do ambush tactics. I played revolvers, twin revolvers. So I had slightly lower accuracy, but very high damage output at criticals.
Okay.
So I would basically wait for fights to break out and just start clicking heads.
Okay. As soon as someone's distracted dodging someone else, they become a lot more predictable from the side or from behind. Yeah, I feel
that. It was a really heavily movement dependent game to the point where there were melee weapons too. Everybody, you carried a melee weapon of some kind, usually a sword, like a katana, because that's the cool thing. It was a run around with katanas and guns arena shooter. It was very, very cool. But you had movement tech where you could like air dash and cancel with blocks with the melee weapons.
Yeah.
And you could literally like wall run and shit if you were good enough at.
Okay. All right. You're selling me.
I wish
sexy.
We could have played this together. It's long gone.
Like the extremely nauseating AVP2 Xenomorph gameplay where you're just like zipping from wall to wall, going in events and shit.
That was my shit.
Okay. I get to go off on one more then.
Okay. Yeah.
Which
absolutely.
Is Winston Overwatch.
Overwatch.
Now, I'm just going to start here. I made it to Masters for like 2 hours once. That's the best I ever got. There's Grandmasters and then top 500 after that. I never got to the tippity-tippity top. But I got to the top of my ability at the game.
That's like top 5% of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, very high.
Masters is still pretty high up there, but like not... you know, I was primarily a Diamond player. And... I Gold. Played Winston almost every single opportunity I got. The thing about Winston is that, you know, he has a fucking long range zap now for some reason. But the way he worked back then is you had your leap, you have your bubble shield, and you have your primary attack, which is just a zippy zap with a wide range in front of you,
gun. Yeah.
But not much reach and not a lot of individual damage. The way you play him best is you ambush people in groups of two or just one, and while you have very low individual damage, you are so fucking good at harassing people, at being the annoying little brother. You're like, I'm not touching you, and then you move somewhere else and you go, I'm not touching you.
All zap, the while zap, zapping them.
No one is allowed to be at full health at any point when a Winston is chasing them.
You enable kills by lowering some HP and distracting.
And if you're good enough at, like, if you've played other characters enough to have an idea of what they're trying to do, you can predict the shit out of people. You can be like, I know if I zap this Mercy, the moment she takes damage, she's going to fly over to that soldier. So I'm just going to join her over there and kill both of them. Put just a bubble down on top of them, and their allies can't help them.
Yeah. Or you hear, it's high noon.
And you just put a bubble right in front of his face.
Exactly the right second. Jump on top of him. Bubble. He can't hit anybody with
exactly.
it. And then you eat him.
Exactly. Yeah. So many opportunities to just be a little fucker.
Yeah.
This is why I like Winston. It's why I like Junkrat. You're just annoying the fuck out of people. And also, the minute that they let that get to them and they start chasing you, they've lost. And
they're tilted.
Because with Junkrat, you set a mine and they take two explosives in one go and they die. And with Winston, it's, I'm over here now.
You'll never catch him. It's over.
It's so annoying to go up against. And I was good enough at it that when I got to playing, like, practice teams, we had one round. I was not letting their Moira out of spawn at any point. They were just down a healer and down a DPS the entire game because I was being a little fucker in their backline. And we get to the comms after the debrief, right? After the game. And one of the people on the other team goes, hey, who was playing Winston? And I go, hi, that was me. And he's like, fuck you.
Yeah, feels good.
Fuck you.
I just need you to know, fuck yourself.
So yeah, that's my second answer for your question.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I think we've gotten our game talk in.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about other digital media? For instance, monsters?
Like digital monsters.
Yeah,
yes,
that was the bit I was doing.
We can talk about Digimon if you want on the Digimon show.
I mean,
the episode that we watched is in the English dub, A Chance Encounter, but the Japanese version that we watched today, Miyako is in Kyoto.
She's in Kyoto!
Yay!
I wrote in my notes, Miyako episode, yay. Today she in Kyoto.
The synopsis begins like this. This section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it.
I'll expand that stub.
Been a little while since we have one of those. And there truly is not much here because, honestly, in the episode, not really a whole lot there in terms of stuff that Timmy would latch on to. There is some substance to the episode, but Timmy doesn't give a fuck about all that. Yolin goes to Kyoto for a class trip.
Without Poromon.
Yes, she does do that. And then the synopsis immediately goes, there she runs into Sora's dad and Joe's brother.
Wow, okay, we're going to skip the first half of the episode.
Skip the whole fucking thing. Episode basically opens on Yolin talking about her trip and what she's going to buy for Poromon, and oh my god, it's so great.
Yeah,
I love Kyoto.
Yeah. It's candy more and paper.
It's more modern than I thought it would be, all this stuff. And this is all an email that she's sending to Izzy, who is sitting at a table with Kenichi Joji, and they're just breaking it down in terms of what's up with these D3s.
They are talking lore. They're talking about what the digital world is. They're talking about how the D3s work, why the kids' clothes change.
Yeah, how the digital world, that there is a program within the digital world that controls shapes, it says.
Yeah, that there's a platonic ideal system going on.
Yeah.
That, like, the collective unconscious kind of decides what things look like in the digital world.
Sure. which I think lends some credence to my theory about my theory later in the episode about spirit creatures and their interaction with the digital world, that they are exerting an influence on the digital world to achieve forms that, you know, match their sort of platonic identity.
Yeah, listeners, this is a lore episode with a capital L. We are talking about the fundamental, like, workings of the digital world and its relation to the human world.
Right. Izzy does this little thing where he's like, I had a flawed understanding of the digital world when I first arrived because, like, I was seven.
You were seven, dog.
He was like, you being can't a little self-critical. Yeah, he was like, I don't know. I guess I just didn't understand how things work. Yeah,
I guess I wasn't autistic enough.
You were seven and trapped in a strange land with no food.
Yeah, you were like in survival mode, dog. You were eating like cooked fish in the desert.
Right. Finding refrigerators full of eggs and being grateful.
I forgot about the eggs.
And yeah, like, this is tough because I can't lean on the synopsis and I don't take notes. This is hard for me.
Well,
what else kind of goes down? Because, like,
they get to talking about the wider world of Digidestin, the fact that, like, mm-hmm. You remember at the end of season one, there's a lot of them. We had the one American dude show up with Mimi, but he is not the only one by far. We got people in every country with their own digital partners and access to the digital world.
Right.
And they're all kids. Hungarian
Digidestin are like a thing.
We know the ones from Tokyo specifically all became Digidestin as a result of witnessing the, like, Greymon Parrotmon battle
at Heightened View Terrace, of course.
That's right, absolutely. Is that what it's actually called in Japanese?
I don't know.
We
made fun of it. We called that name Whitened View Terrace.
It's been a minute. But yeah, I assume there's been other instances across the world that have, like, basically, like, ignited people's spark, Digi-spark.
That, like, an Ogremon fought. I'm going to say canonically Ogremon and Leomon fought on the Arc de Triomphe for my OC, who is a little French girl who wears a red skirt and a black and white striped shirt and a beret, and she likes justice, and her Digimon partner is a cigarette mon.
Jesus. Yeah? You want to try Africa next, babe? No, don't.
I can make fun of French, but that's allowed.
I don't know. France deserves it. Are you French?
France deserves it.
Like, the everyone in France as a whole deserves it. Okay, all right. Normally I'm with you, but I'm like, what the fuck, babe?
I just, what? No, I can't, what? I can't make fun of, okay, let's do Italymon. Let's do
we can make fun of
you
an actual.
You do your Italian Digimon OC now.
Okay. His name is Giorno. He is a gangster, but he's only in the mafia so that he can take it down from the inside because he hates that they're trafficking drugs to children. Sure. His stand is called Golden Wind, and he's Dio's kid, actually. Okay. He's Dio's child.
What's his Digimon partner?
Golden Windmon.
Should have been like Strombolimon.
I didn't want to do a racism, so I just made a JoJo joke. Fuck.
Zizek says we should be able to make fun of each other's cultures in a knowing way, and that it brings us closer together.
Zizek is Slovenian, which is the most make-funnable culture in existence, so he doesn't get to decide that for everybody else.
I'm going to tell you a wild thing he said that I won't say on air, but I will tell you after.
Okay, all right. I'm scared now. But yeah, they talk about the other DigiKids. That's kind of it for what they're discussing, other than, like, you got to get over there and fucking help. You know, once shit starts kicking off, he sends Ken off with Poromon and Wormmon.
Yeah. And they go rescue her from a Hanuman.
Yeah. Hanuman, which is based off Hanuman, the like Chinese name for Wukong.
Yeah.
And the Japanese name for Wukong.
Yeah.
The Monkey King.
Yeah. I think he has a very cool design, actually. I like his little tiny face with his big mane.
Yeah.
He's fun.
He's like a lion face monkey. We got they got those.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Thing.
Lion monkey.
Lion monkey. There you go. I couldn't find porn of him, but you did, Charlie?
I did find one, but it had rookies in it, so we're not going to talk about it. That's a no.
Not allowed.
And then fucking... Okay, so this Hanuman... Oh! In the digital world, I remembered a thing that happened in the episode.
The whole reason this happens.
Yeah. In the digital world, the kids are confronting Mummymon and Arcanimon as they observe Blackwar Greymon destroying another holy stone, continuing to do their dirty work for them for reasons that I cannot fathom.
You know, and in the process, he just sending himself and several other Digimon into the human world briefly.
Yeah, kind of as shadows. There's this really cool visual effect that happens on Blackboard Greymon as he sort of marches through.
They're looking like the shadow procession from Spirited Away going over the bridge.
Sure. I never saw Spirited Away.
What?
I never saw Spirited Away.
Babe! You're making me watch Red Dwarf? I love Red Dwarf, but like we want to talk about like formative shit. We got to get Spirited Away in your tum tum.
Okay, I'd like to eat
some of that ghost food. Turn into a pig.
I had a friend. I think it was my buddy Brett told me. I think it was Spirited Away. That's one that you should watch with your mom.
I'm your mom now, so watch it with me. I'm mommy. Did you forget that part?
I'm sorry, mommy.
Don't be sorry. Be thankful. We get to watch a cute movie together.
Yay. That's great. I'm blushing. Okay. But they're like confronting our Kennymon.
I could be mommy to you for $5, nay $10.
Oh, I think we're still on 5.
Are we still on 5? Okay.
I think we still have like 4 digit destined slots.
$5.
Patreon.com/datatransfer if you like what's happening and would like to give us money for us doing it.
If you want to be if you want me to be your Let's Play mommy.
That's right.
That's what's happening on the Patreon. House. Maybe I should do some like mommy ASMR shit while I'm playing Digimon World 2. That would pass the time better.
That hits somebody.
That hits several people.
Yeah, somebody is in that swap. But anyway, so like Blackwar Greymon's just, you know, tooling around the digital world, blowing up holy stones now, the way that the Digidestined children were going around blowing up dark spires similarly.
Interesting parallel. Yeah, we've switched from destroying evil infrastructure to destroying good infrastructure.
Right. They went from... Oh, man, if I could pull the faction names from Vigilante 8, I would be the coolest nerd of all time, but I can't.
I'm sure you would be. I don't even know what Vigilante 8 is.
So you remember how Twisted Metal was like, hey, you can drive cars around and shoot missiles and guns out of them
on
the PlayStation? Vigilante 8 was more of that, but it had objective-based missions.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't just like deathmatches.
Like a deathmatch, yeah.
That was cool. Personally, a failing of Twisted Metal was that you never had anything to do except blow up each other.
Right. But as far as a party game goes...
Oh my god, yeah. Well, I had no friends as a kid, so I actually don't know how good Twisted Metal is for parties, but I bet it rips.
If we could keep talking about video games, I could tell you about this conversation I'm having about Nintendo 64 games with this guy I met on Grindr. That would be fun.
No, we have Arcanimon and Mummymon stancing
Moneymon.
Up... inadvisably.
And they're about to break out into a fight, and Mummymon is like, yeah, I'll kick your ass, and fucking Vmon digivolves an XVmon and fucking fine.
I love the Digivolution still. They make me happy. Yeah.
I mean, they're good. I'm never gonna be mad to see a Digivolution sequence. Do you prefer the da 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 da? Or the Digimon.
I mean, you're asking me to choose between my two beautiful children.
Yeah, I love them both.
Summer. I choose Summer.
Get your mind blown off of that one. And so they fight, and that's whatever. Fucking. And Blackwork Greymon destroys another holy stone and starts to like phase out or whatever.
Right.
And then that's when Yole sends the message, holy shit, there's Digimon in Kyoto. And she gets attacked by the Hanuman that I mentioned earlier.
Right, right. She's like, SOS, big monkey.
Big monka. So Ichijoji takes Poromon back to Yole, who was having issues being away from her for so long. She was on this like school trip for 3 days. And Poromon was getting sluggish and sad, yeah, which is an interesting thing. Existing in the real world is effort for Digimon who are partnered, I guess, because like fucking Myotismon didn't have that problem.
He was also like constantly sucking energy out of people.
That's true. Demi-Demimon didn't have that problem.
That's true. I didn't see Myotismon like fucking breastfeeding other Digimon the like people energy he was sucking up, so... Fair enough. It may be that partner Digimon need their partner to materialize, yeah, in the regular world.
Because the last line of the synopsis is, she also finds out Digimon away from their partners in the real world get weaker.
Aw. That's so sad. That's, yeah, like me when Lilith go work.
Oh, that's so sad. But anyway, Hanuman is all... He jumps on a camera. At one point, there's like a news crew shooting some B-roll.
Oh, yeah.
Smashes a camera.
Leaps on and destroys a camera.
Fully breaking the masquerade here. Like, the people are just seeing Digimon running around at this point.
Was he like visible to it?
I think so. Maybe. Unless it was just Yole who could see him.
Yeah, I think everyone else is just like, what the fuck is happening? Why did my camera explode?
Yeah.
Weird. Why was it so heavy for a moment?
Crazy. Who knows? I couldn't tell you. Because that's why they do a poor job explaining what people can and can't see. In that,
yeah.
Format.
Well, they explicitly, when they show up, when they materialize as the shadows.
Yeah, the shadows, people can't see.
People
them
can't see them. They see the effects of them walking around. But yeah. They can't see them. It's like Walpurgis Nacht in Madoka Magica, where it's like all they see is a world ending storm.
It is exactly
but
like
there's
Walpurgis
actually
Nacht,
an upside down,
right,
clown woman inside of it.
You downed an upside down clown?
Yeah, so you downed a clown upside down.
Whoop whoop. Stingmon comes flying out of the fucking portal and elbow drops Hanuman because Ichijoji's like, hey, we can't kill him. I commented at the time, but I guess you can break their spine, goddamn.
Yeah.
Because he just fully wrecks them into the pavement.
He just
nuts.
Smashes them down. Digimon could take a lot of punishment.
That's true. They're tough.
But also, he looks fucking sick as hell in an urban environment.
Yeah, I was talking about the size, like how, yes, like the scale of a Stingmon is very, very cool to me.
Listeners, you might recall how much we loved the Tai getting sucked back into the real world episode. Mm-hmm. Where Agumon is like standing like
Ogremon
halfway the... up a lamppost.
Yeah.
When he stands up and is like, oh, these guys are big.
Yeah, they're actually pretty fucking huge.
They're fucking huge. Yeah, I wrote suburb for scale.
Pretty good. I wish they had done more of that art style. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I
want
to see another episode in that.
We'll get county. There. We're going to get there. We're going to get to Beat Break eventually, Audrey.
Nice. The whole series is like that?
The Beat Break is, like, set in the real world in a sort of, I wouldn't say utopic Tokyo, but, like, a very different Tokyo.
Okay. All right, fuck with that. Can't wait. And then Musiamon's there, and fucking Shurimon fights him.
Oh, yeah, we get Samurai V Ninja, which is always...
Samurai V Ninja.
I'm a dork. I'm a weeb. I love this shit.
It's like the third time they've done that, though.
He, like, dunks him in the pond. Shurimon dunks Musiamon in the pond and is just like, let me know when he's had enough. When should I when should I fish him back out? Because I can just drown him if you want.
Can I use a compound word in my description of him?
Yeah, go for it.
Crazy-haired samurai.
That's... Sure. That's not a compound word. That's an adjective followed by a noun.
Yeah. But well, crazy-haired. It's
crazy. It's... bedhead samurai.
Hey, there you go.
That's a compound word.
You did it for me. Very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I should read the synopsis as it is because...
Sure. Sure.
Yole goes to Kyoto for a class field trip. Then she runs into Sora's dad and Joe's brother, Jim, who are studying Digimon. According to them, Kyoto is the closest to the Digiworld, and they can get, and that Kyoto is deeply connected with other worlds. Which I suppose we should probably discuss the conversation that they have in the whip. There are the four guardian beasts.
They're not far off. With
the demon gates.
Yeah, they do imply that Tokyo is kind of where the digital world and the real world connect. Or at least one of many places in which it does so. And they have the major shrines of Tokyo were originally built to maintain the separation of the two universes to stop shit from pouring through.
Right.
He had to stop all the ghosts that were coming through. He's here to fight for me and you. He's going to catch up all because he's Danny Phantom.
I just realized that Kyoto and Tokyo.
Yeah. The backward.
That's the same ass words. What the fuck? How you gonna have two cities? It's like having a city called New York and a city called York New. What are you doing?
It was like having a state called Washington and a state called Tunawashing. No. Okay, you giggle. Good.
That's when you need to do your laundry.
Yeah, Tunawashing.
So there's guard, and then we got into a weird philosophical conversation about if Digimon spirits,
right? Let's talk about what they lay out here in the conversation. We have, first of all, a professor looking into folklore and mythology who's like
Sora's dad,
who's like, I think honestly the Digimon are the source of our concept of yokai, of Tsukumogami, of just spirits in general. And I mean,
calls out specifically foxes and tanuki.
Foxes and tanuki, are the two that we think of interacting with people the most. But there's all sorts of shit between Tengu, Kappa. Sorry, I'm thinking about Kappa, and now I'm thinking about the dung eater in the butt soul. But yeah, no, there's tons of these things, all of which either currently or will in the future have a direct analog in the digital world. And he's like, I think it works like SMT. I think this shit is real in the digital world, and the stories we have of them come from them crossing over at some point or other.
Sure.
And the reason why the main shrines of Tokyo are so important is because they keep the portal that lets them through closed. We don't have to deal with everyone trying to fuck Renamon and making the birth rate even lower.
They're not viable.
You can't have a baby with them. We've tried many times.
As much as your fan art says that you can.
Says that Renamon can impregnate you.
Yeah.
Regardless of your equipment.
Yeah. Renamon butt pregnant. Get butt pregnant by
Renamon. Butt pregnant by a Renamon. Fuck yeah. More power to you, dog.
I'm proud of you.
But the important thing. I lost track of
what they're a guardian beast.
The important thing is that that's the sort of springboard that led to us going, okay, well then there's a billion more questions that spin off from that. If Digimon are roughly equivalent to folklore, then do Digimon predate digital human technology? Do they predate electronics and computers?
And my theory there is that the digital world is a manifestation of the spirit world as the spirit world interfaces with technology and sort of utilizes digital information to form a new map.
Yeah, right? Your theory is that the internet became synonymous with and integrated with the spiritual world. And what we understood to be angels are now Angemon, are now Magnemon, kind of, or Magnandramon.
Precisely. Christian God is a Digimon.
that was my question. Is there a Yawaymon and can I fight him?
He's probably pretty strong.
He's probably pretty strong, but like, is he Black War Greymon strong?
I would think
so. I would hope so.
One would hope so.
Oh, we also hopefully get some foreshadowing some with the four guardians of the directions of the winds. The North Wind. He's fucking Seryu, Suzaku, Byakko, and Genbu.
You say what did you say about Jello Biafra?
I'll say whatever I want about anyone. Don't you censor me.
Speaking of, do you want to do a hello FBI?
It's illegal. It's a federal offense.
Do I? I'm just going to say fuck you over and over.
That's fine.
Is that cathartic? Is that a segment? Is that a segment people
like
need that? To hear?
I mean, yeah, if you feel like you have that in your heart and you'd like to let it out.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm going to say what I said on the RFTB that should have come out today, but I dragged my feet and haven't put it out. The episode begins by me saying, fuck ICE, fuck fascism, we will win.
Okay. You know what? I'll say, hello, FBI. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people actually listening to this. Organize with your neighbors. Reach out there. Like, put out whatever feelers you can, given your situation, how much energy you got available. Reach out. Find out what systems already exist around you to help your neighborhood to distribute food, clothing, to make sure people get, you know, showers, help people find employment, help people find housing. Find out what's around you, because there's something, you know. Check, I fucking hate Facebook and Instagram, but check both of those for local shit going on. We need to build this infrastructure and be aware of it, be part of it. Because ICE is not going to be an isolated incident to Minneapolis. If this shit can, like, this shit will continue on and continue to hurt other places in the U.S. And we need to be ready for it. We need to be able to push back against this shit and defend ourselves. Save ourselves, our neighbors, the people who matter around us. Because we are all we've got in the face of this.
True ass.
Goodbye, FBI.
Goodbye, FBI.
It's illegal. It's a federal offense.
It's illegal. It's a federal offense.
I gotta give you the the bit so that you can play it on the thing, so and I don't have to edit it in.
You have to edit it in. That'd be nice. Fucking,
I love that we ambush people with that 37 minutes in. We're like, hey, guess what, bitches?
Shit's heavy right now.
Hello, FBI will continue until morale improves.
Until ICE is defeated. So fucking Hawkmon digivolves into what you call it, Shuramon, fights a samurai.
Yeah. And in the digital world, we finally get our Jogress.
Yes, we get our Jogress for the episode. Ichijoji comes back from dunking Hanuman into the river.
Yep. Is like, I'm outie.
And then runs up to the fight and is like, hey, Motomiya. That's
Daisuke?
Fucking Daisuke's last name.
Daisuke is just so jazzed to see him. He's like, it's Jogress time!
He's like, it's Jogress
time. And Ken's like, it's Jogress time!
I like that there's no resistance anymore. That they can just, like, real casually Jogress each other.
Well, you do it once and you realize it's not a big fucking deal, dog. That's true. It's like kissing a dude in college.
Unless you make it a big deal.
Unless you make it a big deal, it's just whatever.
Yeah, it's just fine.
Your Digimon are fused now, okay? You're fucking joint parents for a little while.
Yeah. For a minute at a time.
To one double baby.
And that's the end of the synopsis. That's all that happens in this one.
We get the square off. And Black War Greymon, Hanuman, and the rest kind of warp back into the digital world proper again. Yep. And we see as it's happening, we see a disappearing silhouette of some kind of spiral in the sky.
Yeah.
Perhaps some kind of curled dragon of some sort.
Some manner of skyroll.
Some manner of serpentine figure.
Mm.
Yeah. We'll have to see what that's about in the next one. But that is this episode.
The next episode, yeah. What would you rate time. This on a scale of Rookie to Mega?
I like this one. What? It gave me a lot to chew on.
Okay.
I'm going to give it an ultimate. The fights are pushed to the side in favor of actually digging in on some lore shit. But it's lore shit that I desperately needed some answers on because I'm a nerdy little bitch.
I could go with that. I'm going to say that it's an armor because it does give us some lore answers, but they feel a little cobbled. They feel a little not fully fleshed out. I hope that each of the little concepts that we got little bites of, like the spirit world and the guardians and the fact that partner Digimon get weaker if they're away from there. I hope all of these things get more fleshed out, or my theory is get completely fucking forgotten about, because that's the thing that happens in the show too.
You're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Good.
I recall the last part of the season, and no, all of that is pretty fucking important, actually.
Okay, cool, good. You want to know what else is important?
It's art, bitch! It's fucking art!
You're right, Northern Lion is very important, and I'm glad someone's brave enough to say it.
He's an important guy.
We'll go ahead and start with this one. I'll handle the description if you're...
Very good, yep.
All right.
All right.
So our theme this time around is size difference.
All right.
I chose for the first one what is tagged as small dom big sub, so we could flip it around for the second one. I'm cute like that. I'm a little stinker. but we have Gatomon chowing down on a dude's cock like a just kind of generically well-built dude.
Mm-hmm.
She in the top left, we have a little montage of her licking the rod and flicking the shit out of the head with her tongue.
Cat tongue, though.
Cat tongue. So that's like abrasive as shit.
That's CBT.
It's like running a Brillo pad on your shit. But wet. Anyway, and then the rest of the image is taken up with this man, like, covering his eyes in flusteredness, embarrassment, because she has his rod square all the way down her fucking throat, like it's no big deal. She's also got one of her claws up in her puss as it's spread out back to the viewer.
Oh, that's what's happening.
And it doesn't look like it's spread at all. She's just kind of stabbing into it.
Yeah.
Probably some clitoral stimulation, if I had to guess. Not really digging into her labia there.
One would think that she is taking, like, the knuckle below where the claw is and stimulating her clitoris with the knuckle below the claw.
That makes a lot of sense. But you can see where the claw is pushing in on the labia, and I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
That
where are you
going to
put it?
Fair enough. She doesn't have her tail ring here, so she's in danger if dark forces try to attack her in the middle of this fellatio.
Aren't we all?
We are all more at risk of possession when we have a cock down our throats. You're absolutely right, Audrey. I'm glad someone was brave enough to say it.
I think it fortifies you spiritually to suck cock.
You think it's like a Catholic ritual?
Yes.
Using cum as like a purifying salt.
Oh. Holy cum. Is that anything?
Oh, like fuck. Holy water? A cum chalice.
Cum FPK.
Cum FPK. Hey, so that's
FromSoft.
That's FromSoft. We're back in there. Yeah.
God, I'm going to be so bad at this fucking game when I pop back in. I'm going to suck shit.
I like this one a lot. I think it's very cute that she's having a grand old time. He's having a great time, but he's embarrassed as fuck. Because, like, what are you? She's half your height, and she is, like, destroying your shit in a way you've never experienced before. You're like, wow, Brillo pad.
Like that.
And now, for our feature presentation.
I'm doing Big Dom Small Sub.
We're doing big dom, small sub. Now, small is relative, to be fair.
Okay, cool. I'm looking at the... All right, let's just play this. Do you think I can get the audio? Is there audio?
There's audio. Yeah, there's audio.
You can play it over me describing
it. I'll cut out the listening part. Don't worry.
All right, so... Oh, yeah, spurts. Is this AI?
No.
Do you think? The laugh.
The laugh is what got me.
Fuck. Blastoise is just banging the shit out of Leomon in this one.
Fucking him raw. He's got his legs lifted up like he's just a dainty little gal. Just a little, just, I mean, to be clear, Leomon is still like canon size. He's still a seven and a half foot lion.
Blastoise
man.
Is canon size.
And Blastoise is also canon size. It's a much bigger bar of Blastoise.
I think Blastoise is bigger than he's supposed to be. Because Blastoise is supposed to be 5'3".
Blastoise is 5'3"?
Yeah.
I'm taller than Blastoise?
You're taller than Blastoise. This is what's fucked up about the Gen 1 level 3 evolutions.
Is that they're all the starters? Yeah, I know Charizard is like
5'1", 5'. Yeah.
That is wild to think about when Guzzlord is like 12 feet tall.
Oh my god. Charizard's standard size in the Pokedex is an average height of 5'7" and a weight of around 199.5 pounds.
I'm Charizard average height. I'm average height for a Charizard.
You're average height for a Charizard.
I'm not sure.
I outweigh him. I outweigh Charizard, which is fucking crazy.
Okay, he does. He has to be able to fly, in fairness.
But he's got very muscular wings.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He's a fucking dragon, basically. He's a fire, but he's a dragon.
Describe this porn.
Blastoise in this one has got to be 9 feet tall because his very turgid rod, and he's got that thing where if you've got like a real hard kick, you've got the erectile tissue, and that's sort of its own sort of rounded part. And then on the bottom of that, you have the flexed urethra forming its own sort of rounded part.
Right,
of
being
the,
kind of pushed
of
out
shaft.
and well-defined against the skin.
When a dick is real hard, it'd be doing that.
Yep.
And Blastoise is just incredibly round, turd and round, is pounding Leomon's butthole. They fuck and they feel ecstasy together. And so you see the cum start to like dribble out of Leomon's ass as Blastoise cream pies him, which then makes Leomon begin to cum. Is feeling the cum inside of him, I think.
And you can see that cum. Like, not just what comes out.
Right. The cum made me think that it was AI because of the way it was rendered.
No, it's hard to do fluids.
Yeah, that is
3D render. It's difficult to do. It's been hard to do for a long time, and it looks fucking goofy.
That's so goofy.
There's almost no good ways to handle it, if I'm being honest. If you're coming at it from, I would like to come and not laugh about this in a way that takes me away from it. It's a difficult problem to solve.
Spunk is a fucking hard thing to render generally. Like, I can't think of a medium where cum looks great or realistic.
I think you can't have it look realistic and great. I think cum is a little bit gross in real life. Yeah. It's snot, but white, dog.
It's white snot.
And anyway.
It's full of microorganisms,
I want to catch an element of the description that we missed, which is the inflation that, like, soft, like you can see it briefly resisted by Leomon's abs trying to keep their structure, and then they just kind of flatten out and go full, so round and big and full.
Full of cum.
I appreciate that, the muscles, like, trying and then giving way under the sheer volume. It's a good detail.
He's got the cummy tummy.
And then the laugh at the end. Like fucking Bowser.
Yeah. Like Bowser plowing Leomon's ass and then laughing.
It's funny stuff, but it is good stuff.
Yeah, here's some tags for you. Abs, anal penetration, anthro, ball size difference, balls deep, balls touching, big balls, big dom, big sub, big penis, blue body, blue eyes, bodily fluids, bouncing balls, bouncing belly, cannon, cum in ass, cum inflation, cum inside. It's a good movie. Come while penetrated, come shot, dominant, duo, ear piercing, ear ring, ejaculation, erection, eye roll, fade to black, feet, genital fluids, genitals, glands, huge balls, huge penis, humanoid genitalia, humanoid penis, inflation, interspecies, laugh, legs up, male, mismatched genitalia, mismatched humanoid penis, mismatched penis, moan, muscle gut, muscular anthro, muscular male, navel, Nelson pose, nipples nude, orange body, outside sex, They are outdoors. Pax penetration, penis size difference, piercing, pokemorph, ranged weapon, red eyes, ring piercing, roaring sex, sitting, size difference, smaller penetrated, soul spread, legs spreading, thick thighs, toes, veins, veiny penis, waterfall weapon.
Yay!
Friends.
If I had any fucking hard drive space, I would take that shit and I would make a stupid little song out of it. Because yeah. That had like a rhythm to it that I was enjoying very much.
Yay.
But then again, my washing machine has a rhythm that I want to turn into music, so I may just have autism for rhythm.
Same.
Ost rhythm. Well, that's Ost-rhythm. Rhythms from Austria. That's a different thing.
That's true. It's like industrial. Yeah, you're right. This
champions. I'm gonna give it this is tough, actually. I have two contenders for basically the same reason.
Sure.
There's Izzy and there's Joe's brother. And for both of them, it's for being part of the OG or just like part of the older generation that are like accepting of the new guard and also really proud of what they're accomplishing.
Yeah.
Izzy in particular, after the difficulty of being accepted into the group of the new guard for Ken, after his struggles with being accepted, accepting himself as someone who can do good after what he's done, Izzy is just like, "You're on the team, my guy. Let's talk it through. I'm glad to have another nerd to talk to, because I needed to get some of this lore shit out."
And has been, I think I can probably point to a few examples of times where Izzy is like giving mentorship to Ken and stuff, which I think is cool.
It is fantastic. It's not only Izzy sitting Ken down and being like, "Okay, now this is a Deltarune theory, but first I have to ask, how much do you know about Woody from Toy Story?" That's going to go great for the people who know. But it's not just that. It's also him just casually, wordlessly accepting him as part of the team and a useful member of the team. He's like, "All right, I'm leaving it to you. Get Poromon down to Yole and fucking help the main squad because they need it." It makes me very happy, and I think it makes Ken very happy too, in a way that we kind of see towards the end of the conversation. It was like, "Oh wow, I'm just part of the team now."
Hmm.
Joe's brother, for very similar reasons, is like, "Oh, so you're part of the new group. Like, I knew kind of what Joe had been up to, but you're like doing it, and I see your Digimon for real now, and it's in your lap, and that's fucking wild, and he wasn't lying, and this is cool." And he's just very casually drops, just like, "Yeah, I'm very proud of my little brother. He did great work before, he's still doing hard work now." And Sora's dad, not really talking much about Sora, but just being like, "Yeah, she saved the world once. My daughter's so cool." A lot of familial and fraternal love going around in this episode, and I like that a lot. So I'm gonna tie between Joe Bro and Izzy.
Okay, I dig that. For much the same reason that Agrius is one of my favorite kitty cats in the whole wide world.
Silly Punim.
I'm gonna say Hanuman is my digital champion for his little Silly Punim.
He's being fluffy cheeks to this side.
The face of the big fluffy cheeks. There's something about that does it for me. I want every picture of Agrius where her face is all tiny and scrunched up and she has the big cheeks. That's my favorite.
Listeners, I will show my cat on video sometimes when she's curled up all cute, and every single time I just hear Audrey's heart melt in real time. Just
I always talk about her silly punim.
Yeah, her silly face.
She's good. I love that cat. And I love you, listener. And it's important at this time for me to cruise on over to Patreon.com. So I'm gonna cruise on over to patreon.com/datatransfer, where for a simple donation of $5 every month, you can support us at the Digidestined tier, get your name shouted out at the end of each main feed episode, and give us a little bit of money because, you know, times is rough and tough like leather. Because money sucks. And you can give some of yours to me and Audrey and Corla, because I'm not Corla, I'm Audrey.
I'm Corla. I'm a creature.
But I'm going to shout them out like this. I'm going to do them like this. I'm going to say my Metamore Gigi, Bubba Nitro, Teresa, Maya, Waylon the Sprite Smith, Mish, Pablo Hummus, Jubilation Lee. This penguin likes her tight little cat. It's great. Saturday's Claire, Nobody Newt, Asa slash Anya, who played some good fucking magic last night. Way to go. The Worst of All Possible Worlds podcast, Hex Maniac, Ember Saffron, Kitty Sparks, and Aru Kenimon. Parenthesis real. Thank you so much for supporting us at the Digidest Interior. You absolutely, positively are the Digi and Armon.
Yay!
So thank you for joining us and getting your shout out. If you want to be like them, patreon.com/datatransfer. You get our Let's Play content and you get the shout out like I did. How's that? You like that?
I liked it.
Very good. I would also like it very much if you would share your plugs.
I have another podcast. It's called Post Ponies. It is a retrospective of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and the Rise of American Fascism. Ha ha ha. It's funny when that used to be a joke.
Yeah.
It's funny when that was like supposed to be a premonition as opposed to what is happening now publicly, visibly. So
sucks. Sucks ass.
Despite how that sounds, it is a show of four trans gals, myself, two partners, and our good friend Ruby. Just
and a cryptid named Ruby.
Yeah, just being fucking wackos over My Little Pony. And whatever other dumb shit we want to talk about. It's a fantastic time. Like, if you need a distraction from the horrible shit going on, we will put a smile on your face. Many of them. And the giggles.
Yeah.
You can find us anywhere you're listening to this podcast or at smallgayhorse.com.
Best URL in the game. That should be a t-shirt for you guys. It should just be smallgayhorse.com and then in like quotes under it, best URL in the game.
That could, I think smallgayhorse.com over top of the VHS on front and then best URL in the game on the back.
That could be cool.
Could be pretty good.
Or best URL in the game down both sleeves, like a long sleeve.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me give you a stream.
Put on a hoodie.
Hell yeah. I do another podcast as well.
You do?
It's called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships. We do heartfelt relationship advice, goofy japes, the dumbest jokes you've ever heard, and we try to help you with your love life or your mental health, and we try to give you the strength to go on. How about that? If you would like, you can go to rftb.me or anywhere you find your podcast, find Radio Free Tote Bag, check us out. We're fun. Big, fun time. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. That's we did what we came to do tonight.
We did it. We did it. Let's so play good.
Play some fucking Elden Ring.
Play some Elden Ring. How do 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 do. That's not how this song goes at all.